In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The past two Sundays, we've considered the first two stations in our journey through Lent, which is simply a microcosm of our journey through life, our ongoing process of conversion. We considered first the battle that we all face, the seriousness of that battle, and the recognition that we have a choice of whether to win or to lose. Last Sunday, we considered the glory to be revealed, the glimpse of God's beauty and majesty that he gave to the apostles on Mount Tabor, and that he offers to us at every celebration of the Holy Mass. This passing glimpse reminds us of the tremendous and unfathomable rewards God has promised to those who love and seek him. Today, we're presented with the first step in the active process of conversion, known to the saints as the purging or cleansing, the purgative way. We can have all the knowledge of what we face and what God wants to give us on an intellectual level, but until and unless we are prepared to call our sins what they are and to renounce them, we will never make any progress in our spiritual life. We must have the mind of Jesus, who hates sin and who uses every means at his disposal, even a whip fashioned out of cords, to drive sin out of his house. That is the kind of hatred we must have for our sins. On a sacramental level, we imitate our Lord in this cleansing of the temple. As we name our sins in both kind and number and firmly resolve never to sin again, we are taking the spiritual whip to ourselves and allowing the Lord to cleanse us who were made in his image and are also his temple. One of the great joys of being a priest, second only to the privilege of offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass, is the grace to extend God's mercy and salvation to sinners in confession. While it's true that over many decades, regular confession has become rather rare among Catholics, even Mass-going Catholics, this certainly does not mean that the sacrament of penance has lost its importance. On the contrary, it's more important today than ever. As we know, the great trick the devil plays is to convince the world that he does not exist. Well, this is also true of sin. In general, we in the prosperous West don't believe in sin anymore. And if there's no sin, then for what should we seek forgiveness? Indeed, if there is no sin, for what reason did Christ die on the cross? Why do we go to confession? The Catechism tells us, Christ instituted the sacrament of penance for all sinful members of his church, above all for those who, since baptism, have fallen into grave sin and have thus lost their baptismal grace and wounded ecclesial communion. It is to them that the sacrament of penance offers a new possibility to convert and to recover the grace of justification. The Fathers of the Church present this sacrament as the second plank of salvation after the shipwreck, which is the loss of grace. To put it simply, we need confession because even after baptism, we still sin. It's tremendous mercy of the Lord Jesus that, having accepted the gift of new life, we continue to turn away from him, that he still extends his hand to bring us back into his grace. If we think of our Lord in the Gospels, whenever he would offer the gift of forgiveness, he did so personally, once the faith of the person in question was clear. After his ascension into heaven, he still wanted the people whom the apostles would evangelize to have that same experience, the intimate and personal experience of forgiveness. And so after we've confessed our sins sincerely and completely, it is the Lord himself using the instrument of the priest saying to us, I absolve you from your sins. What should we confess? First, we must confess all mortal sins. We might hear the term grave sin or serious sin, but the meaning is the same. That is, that sin that ruptures our relationship with God, that destroys supernatural love within us, and by which we lose sanctifying grace. And we must confess these sins, as I mentioned, in both kind and number. That is, we must specify, as much as needed and as much as we're able, what the sin was and approximately how many times it was committed. Many come to confession unsure of whether something they have done was a mortal sin, and sometimes that can be difficult to determine. But in essence, a person sins mortally when he or she violates one of the Ten Commandments or the commandments of the Church with full knowledge and with sufficient forethought. Second, we should get into the habit of confessing venial sins. Venial sins are those offenses against God that may not involve serious matter or may have been committed without sufficient knowledge or reflection. These are the little sins that most of us struggle with every day, and therefore the most difficult for us to overcome. Why should we bother? Well, because the Son of God has demanded that we be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. While we should always seek perfection in our moral lives, we also don't want to fall into scrupulosity. Scrupulous people tend to find sins where none exist, or begin to repeat sins in confession that have already been forgiven. Scrupulosity may seem to be holding oneself accountable, but in reality is a form of pride, by which one is placing oneself beyond the Lord's power to forgive. Now, in order to seek the perfection to which we're called, we must examine our consciences on a regular basis, even daily. By doing so, we remain honest with God and with ourselves, we grow in gratitude for the gifts the Lord has given us, and we begin to identify those little sins that have kept us from growing in our relationship with God and with others. I'm sure you've seen the longer examinations of conscience that are at the back of the church. Well, there's no need to go through an examination like that every day. It's certainly helpful when it's time to go to confession, and can help us to develop a routine of brief daily examinations on our own. In our first reading today, God gives the Ten Commandments to his people. These commandments are essentially a divine confirmation of the moral law already written on the human heart. Sometimes we can forget the significance of the Ten Commandments for the same reason that it's easy for us to forget many of the Lord's teachings. We've heard them a million times. For many Catholics, having memorized the Ten Commandments as children, sometimes we can feel as adults that maybe we don't really need to be concerned about things like that anymore. And yet, this is the context under which the Ten Commandments were given at Sinai, from the book of Exodus. On the morning of the third day, there were peals of thunder and lightning, and a heavy cloud over the mountain, and a very loud blast of the ram's horn, so that all the people in the camp trembled. But Moses led the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stationed themselves at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely enveloped in smoke, because the Lord had come down upon it in fire. The smoke rose from it as though from a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As we can see, our moral life in God was not given nonchalantly or as an afterthought. This is the seriousness of getting right with him so that we can be truly happy as we were meant to be. Anytime we need reminding of how serious the reality of sin is, all we must do is look at the crucifix. Finally, how often should we go? Well, that depends. Many of the saints went to confession every day. St. John Paul II himself went to confession every day. Well, why did they do that? Was it because they were great and terrible sinners? Well, probably not, but because the closer we get to God, the more we realize we need him, and the more hatred we have, even for the small sins that we commit. A good rule of thumb is to go once a month, unless there are mortal sins that we need to confess, in which case we should go as soon as we can. If you'd like to go once a week, there's nothing wrong with that either, but once a month will get you in a good routine and help to develop your relationship with the Lord through more fruitful Holy Communions and a richer prayer life. I certainly try to make myself as available as possible for confession, and someone's need for confession trumps most other things I'm doing. If you want to come to a weekday mass and ask for confession afterward, that's certainly not a problem. Or make an appointment during the week, that's wonderful. However long it's been, whatever sins you may have, I'm only here, and every priest is only here, to be God's instrument in extending his mercy to you. The only important thing is for all of us to get back in and remain in the state of grace, so that when the Lord comes, we will be ready to receive our inheritance as his sons and daughters. I'll close with a beautiful story from the life of St. Margaret Mary that I've mentioned probably a number of times from this pulpit, but that never gets old, certainly when we're talking about confession. Shortly after Margaret Mary began receiving her visions of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, she told her spiritual director, and this priest, understandably, did not believe her. But Margaret Mary was insistent, So eventually this priest suggested a way that she might prove the apparitions were authentic. He said to Margaret Mary, "The next time our Lord appears to you, ask him to tell you what I confessed in my last confession." Of course, given the seal of confession, the Lord himself would be the only one who could give her that information. So Margaret Mary dutifully complied, and the next time Jesus appeared to her, she asked, what sins did Father confess in his last confession? And Jesus simply looked back at her and said, "I forgot." Every time we lay down our sins at the foot of the cross in confession, they are taken up and destroyed in the love of the heart of Jesus, such that even God himself can and does forget them. Let us allow him to soften our hearts and enlighten our consciences so that we will not be afraid to turn everything over to him and become more like him in return. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.